Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast with your co-hosts, Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and their team of experts. Since 1998, this program has been helping people like you with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources and programs, and promoting tech businesses in our area. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program heard weekly on WJR 760 AM in Detroit and across the state on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
A very good weekend to you. Hi, this is Foster Brown, and we've got 2 hours of the Internet Advisor coming up, and quite a program we have. In this first hour, we're going to be finding out about the thing that we take for granted, all of us who love gadgets, electricity, and how it is produced and transmitted around our state with the folks from ITC. We're talking with them, and also be finding out about a great program that helps minority women in particular to get into IT. It's called Step It Up America. Back shortly with all that and more. Well, the fun begins already. We have a wonderful crew of people in here. And I have to say, by the way, that though my regular tech experts and Gary Baker have all abandoned me for summer vacations, I am delighted to say that we are well covered today with tech experts. And that's Mr. Bill Carver is with us. Bill, good to have you back in studio.
That's great to be back, Andrew. It's almost like you're in this room.
You are here, my friend, and we are so glad you're here. Bill has got a lot of experience with both Windows and Mac platforms, and currently you are working?
Yep, I'm working with the number one place to work in IT, and actually the nation, according to myself and according to Computer World, Quicken Loans.
Quicken Loans.
As the guy.
Very interesting, yeah, very important company in this in the city of Detroit, and certainly in terms of IT, one of the biggest ones. I love that. There was an article you sent that said it's a great place to work. Great place. And with you, your compatriot, Antigone Klima. We therefore are going to call you Tig, though, right, for the program, right?
Perfect.
Well, now we have to press a little red button in front. There it's on. Now it's on.
How about that?
There we go.
Perfect. Yeah, see, I pretend to be a nerd. I put that right in there. I pretend to be a nerd.
That was tech support, by the way. Foster's good at it.
There you go. Now, Tig, you are also working in IT, right?
Yes, I am. And I'm doing the knowledge management and configuration management for Quicken Loans.
What is knowledge management?
Knowledge management is documenting what you know so that you know what you know, and people can find it when they need it the way they need it.
I see, exactly. Wow, great. Well, that background, a little bit on your background in terms of with computers.
I started with computers in the late 80s, and I programmed myself out of a job, so then I ran their IT department, and so then they put me in charge of their international network, and then I became a consultant for a couple of years.
Wow.
Then I moved back to Detroit and started working with the Gift of Life Michigan that coordinates human organ tissue cadaveric donations and transplants. Ran their IT department for about 10 years and then took a slight break, and now I'm back at Quicken.
Wow. Well, we're going to find out more about both of these people and their background. They are here to help us, by the way, particularly in our second hour. They're going to be helping us with our questions. Right now, however, it's time to talk about Michigan Technology News, MI Tech News, with Mike Brennan, who is the editor. Mike, welcome to the show.
And I pressed my red button, Foster, so I'm good.
I'm glad you did and that we've got you on the air. Now, we've switched our timing around a little bit. We want to put you in the front of the program so more people find out about MI Tech News, which, by the way, is a free service that brings you the top headlines in technology and other kinds of news. Mike puts that together all the week long and then delivers that on Friday, and it's yours free for nothing. Bill, pardon me, let's talk a little bit, Mike, about some of your headlines. I saw there that Aereo, that company that was fighting in the Supreme Court to be able to give us our little antennas to get all the television signals, says it's still going to go ahead with its court battle, even though they've been knocked out of the Supreme Court.
Right. They're going to go for cable status. They're going to go for the same rules that the cable companies use. However, in going for that, they're going to have to be in court with the cable companies who have more money than God. So it might be a rather uphill battle, but they're going to give it one more shot.
That's interesting that they decided to continue to do that. Well, as you said, it's going to be a very costly effort. Be wondering, it'll be interesting to see if the public kind of comes up, or there's public support for that in terms of hard, cold dollars cents. I also noticed that one of your other headlines was that the use of common web privacy tools can actually put anyone on the NSA watch list. How does that work?
Well, when the more of these Snowden documents keep coming out, Edward Snowden, who left, I'm not sure exactly where he is right now, but he's not in the United States. He took a lot of documents with him. It turns out when they looked into those documents that the NSA has had a surveillance program called X Keyscore, and so algorithm, that sort of thing. If you use anything to encrypt your messages on the email, or if you use certain types of networks that are encrypted, they're going to look at you real carefully because they're wondering why you're doing this. So the real rub here is, even if you do a Google search for these just because you're curious, they're going to look at you too.
No kidding.
They're already looking at us, Foster, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, that kind of fire going. It's a foregone conclusion, I think, with us. One of the things I was wondering is that if you look at, and I was the other day I was looking at Tor, just the term Tor, which is like for torrent. So if I even went and Googled that and found out something about that, I'd be flagging myself?
Yeah, the algorithm will show up, and then they're wondering why you're looking at the Tor Necker. Why would a guy like you need to encrypt your messages, they're thinking?
I see. All right, let's look at one other headline here. You've got a little closer to home, and this is kind of characteristic of some of the things that you have in your MI Tech News each week. It's to help people who are entrepreneurs to find out about different kind of things that are going on. And this one is about a Toast and Tech Talk that's going to be going on, a breakfast series sponsored by Automation Alley.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of innovative stuff for a long time, trying to connect businesses and technology. And, of course, the reason they all started a decade or more ago was to recruit technology folks to the area because there just wasn't enough of them. So now what they've got a deal with Plant Moran and a few other companies, and on July 29th they're going to have have a panel discussion with industry experts. And they're going to talk about, getting started in business and what all that takes. And I can tell you from personal experience, it takes a lot of knowledge. And so this is a wonderful thing for you to find out.
Yeah, it's a great, great way to find out networking and finding out more information about what's going on. Well, folks, this is the kind of thing that Mike puts together, Mike Brennan, who is the editor, and we're talking with him now, into MI Tech News. And you can get hold of that. If that's something that's interesting to you, the technology news, the entrepreneurial news about what's going on in Michigan, you can simply go to internetadvisor.net, our website, and then scroll down, and you'll see Mike's smiling face and a subscribe now button. You click on that, put the information in there, and free for nothing, you get MI Tech News delivered to you each week. Mike, thanks so much for putting that together for us, and we look to talk with you next Saturday as well.
Look forward to it as well. Thanks, Foster.
All right, have a great summer weekend. Hey, we're back in just a minute. Matter of fact, to talk with folks from ITC about transmitting electricity around our state. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, co-host here, along with Bill Carver and Tig Klima, my two tech experts, and we'll be talking with them a little bit more. You know, guys, one of the things I think we all kind of take for granted, especially those of us who listen to this program, be like computers, be like devices, things we're all playing with, we love gadgets. They all depend on one thing, and that's electricity. And I can't think of one thing probably that we take more for granted than maybe the air around us and water. It's like it's always there. It's kind of funny that in a lot of the apocalyptic TV series and movies that are out, one of the things that makes it so dire is suddenly electricity is gone. And we realize how much we've come to depend on that. Well, my guest in studio is Ron Hensley, who is the Vice President of IT, and he's the Chief Information Officer for ITC Michigan. And Ron, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
Thank you.
Delighted to have you here. Now, Ron, you folks aren't the ones necessarily who produce electricity, but you have the very important job of taking it around to all of us. Talk a little bit about what ITC does.
Okay. We are a transmission owner. We own the transmission lines, which basically connect the generators to distribution entities such as cities, towns, things like that. So we don't own any energy, any power, but our lines are used for that power to move to where it needs to go.
So if you look at our homepage, internetadvisor.net, there's some windmills there, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But the symbol of your presence are those huge trees, those metal, in some case concrete trees, now they're out there. that have the big lines on it, aren't there?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what is They're, getting the power around.
Yes, they are. We look at it, we kind of view that as the interstate system for electricity.
You know, you brought up an interesting point, and I thought of this before the program. I was going to ask you about it. We have a problem with our interstate system. It's old. You know, it's been out there for, it was a brilliant thing. I think David Eisenhower, the president, after World War II, envisioned it, and we've got these wonderful interstate highways, but they've been out there for a while, and they begin to fall into disrepair, et cetera. Are we facing somewhat the same thing in terms of that massive grid that we've had out there since electrification?
Well, don't forget I'm on the IT side. At ITC, we've made significant investment in the transmission grid over the years. ITC has been in existence for 11 years, and we've spent $4 billion in our footprint to upgrade the grids that we're responsible for. $2.5 billion of that has been in the state of Michigan, and throughout the next through 2016, we'll spend another $4.2 billion throughout the ITC footprint, which includes Michigan, Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma,
wow,
and a few other states.
So, I mean, I what I wanted to get at was you folks was also, you're repaving that highway.
Yes.
As it goes along as well, and not just kind of tending the lines that are up there. It was fascinating. I was seeing that you have a flyover program. I think it's twice a year. You actually fly over the lines?
Yeah, that's something that we're required to do to make sure that our lines are operating and that there aren't any issues.
Wow. One of the things I was curious about because of your involvement as the with IT, that's information technology folks, and he's the chief information officer. Well, we've been talking with our governor, who was on our guest the other day. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I know he is very concerned about is cybersecurity. And one of the things that's been talked a lot about is our whole infrastructure, the big things like water and gas and electricity. How safe are we? I mean, is this something we've had to think about a lot, and are we doing a lot to secure that system?
Yes, we're safe. And we focus very much on cybersecurity. ITC has made significant investment in cybersecurity over the years. One of the things that we worry about is the evolving threats that are out there. If you recall, in the early days, the threats were fairly straightforward, password hacking, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're up to things like denial of service, Stuxnet, those sorts of things. So we had to stay very diligent to keep on top of those things.
I don't know how much you can divulge on this, but I'm curious. What kind of attacks have we faced here, for instance, on the grid?
Well, I really can't get into the cybersecurity things that have happened.
Have they been fairly sophisticated, though? I mean, you're talking about a level of sophistication rising?
From an ITC standpoint, we haven't seen anything.
Okay.
So there may be some other issues out there with other providers, but I'm not aware of those things.
As CIO, are you involved in some of the security groupings and strategies and meetings around the state then?
Yes, I'm a part of the governor's cybersecurity or okay. Cybersecurity Advisory Council, where we talk about things that information that we can share and help with the state and its cybersecurity awareness as well and preparedness.
I know they have the cyber range out there, which, as I understand, is where they can kind of mock up attacks. Am I right? And then responses.
Yes, I haven't seen it or been part of it, but I am aware that exists. And other states have the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
As well.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that you're part of that strategy and you're there because, again, this is an incredibly, incredibly significant thing as that's protecting our electricity. What kind of federal standards do you folks work under?
We are through the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. They have a commission to a nonprofit group called the North American Reliability Corporation. And they have identified a set of critical infrastructure protection standards that we all need to follow. They're CIP, CIP for short, and they cover a range of industries, including the energy industry. And NERC, the North American Reliability Corporation,
mm-hmm.
They're the standards. They're the ones that drive the electricity sector. So there's several standards within there, and we're required to follow those standards. And they range anywhere from how we're going to protect our systems from electronic security perimeter to a physical security perimeter, all the way to identifying what critical cyber assets are out there.
I'm interested to see you've talked a little bit about security, et cetera. What are some of your feelings about the cloud computing and the ability to, if you will, allow a lot of people into the conversation through that kind of technology?
You know, it's interesting because the cloud has really, it's been around a long time. In the early days, it was called application service providers and those kind of things. In my personal view, it seemed to have really taken off with the advent of the iPhone and things where iCloud became now kind of a common terminology that folks could grasp onto, and they really understood at that point what it was. So in our view, it's something that we use. We use the cloud for some of our systems that we provide. And we also have infrastructure. My view is as much as we can do in the cloud, I would support that because it takes us basically out of the infrastructure business. But now with ITC, we've identified what are our core systems. These are the things that are imperative for the grid to operate. Those will always stay within our control. Other types of systems we may be able to do in the cloud where it makes sense.
Now, this isn't in the cloud. This is very much on the ground. But I've got to ask you this question because I identify this with electricity a lot. These windmill farms that are going up. And I understand that you have a thumb loop project that's going up, which is, that's your transmission lines. But you're interfacing with a huge wind farm up there, aren't you?
Yes.
Wind farms.
Yeah, the thumb loop project, it's basically a three-phase project that's... one phase has been implemented already, and then I believe two phases have been implemented, and then there's a third phase that will go into service next year. The idea behind that is to provide part of that investment is to make sure that we have the transmission lines available and the infrastructure available as the wind farms grow. We can add to that to move that wind to where it needs to go.
So is that putting pressure, good pressure, on ITC then to be able to build more of these kind of networks out with your lines to be able to feed into these things?
Yes. We work with all different entities on different sources of power on where it needs to go, right. And our role is to work with them to provide that kind of infrastructure.
What kind of growth is going on in wind energy, though, in terms of generating electricity?
It's happening all over the country.
Yeah.
I was in Texas for a number of years, and Texas they have the largest wind farm, and they have tens of thousands of megawatts in place now in Kansas and places like that, and Michigan as well. So wind is it's growing. I can't give you the numbers, but it's growing rapidly.
Yeah, the wind is blowing and it's increasing.
Yes.
And ITC is handling the electricity that's being generated through it. Ron Hensley, thank you so much for being with us. Ron Hensley is the Vice President of IT and Chief Information Officer for ITC. Thank you so much for being with us on the show today. When we come back in just a minute, we're going to talk about another resource, and that is women in technology. Coming back with that on The Internet Advisor in just a moment. It's The Internet Advisor, Foster Brown here, along with a couple of newbies. One newbie and another guy who's been here before, I should say. We're talking about Bill Carver. Bill, thank you so much for joining us as our tech support here.
Oh, you're welcome. Am I a virtual Gary or a virtual Ed today?
Virtual Gary.
Virtual Gary.
The virtual Ed is our other guest. That's Tig. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Tig Klima. Both of them work in technology for Quicken Loans here in the Detroit area. And they're involved in a very big IT department. And Bill, you were saying that article apparently says that you're one of the best.
Yeah, we are the best, actually. It comes with lots of talent and quite a few Nerf darts.
And cookies.
And cookies as well. Well, listen, you folks then may be the perfect people to connect with our next guest. And I want to, first of all, thank very much our folks, Myra Ford, for being in studio with us. Myra, thank you for joining us here.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Now, the reason I said we're going to hook this all together, and there's some other people to introduce in the studio as well, is that... You're an employee for a company called UST Global, which is a multinational?
That's correct.
IT corporation,
that is
right?
Correct, yes.
And what kind of things does UST Global then do in IT?
Well, UST Global actually provides IT services for a vast number of industries, but we are an IT services project-based organization that works with one-third of the healthcare claims in our country are processed on UST systems, as well as, I believe, of the top 10 retailers globally, only one of them we are not working with their point-of-sale systems.
Wow.
So we have a lot to do with IT services across the board in many industries.
Talking about big IT departments. And it's somebody else who's with you from the company is Sheila Petaway, right?
Yes.
Sheila Petaway, thank you so much for joining us. Your role, and we'll talk about that a little bit, is as a coach here in Detroit. But basically what's happened is that UST Global, with this massive company that's involved in IT, has decided to pick a focus in particular to helping minority women to be able to get into IT. First of all, why is that such a big hurdle?
Oh, gosh. Foster, you know what? I know you've had recent guests that have talked to you about the STEM environment.
Exactly.
STEM education.
Science, technology, engineering, and math.
Correct. And the CEO of our company sits on the National Council of STEM Connector in Washington, D.C., chairing, actually, the subcommittee on African-American women as it relates to STEM. And it's just very clear that there's a disparity of women being involved in STEM fields. And UST Global has taken it upon itself through our foundation to train minority women in the area of technology.
Now, Sheila, as somebody who's going to be a coach here, what are some of the keys to interesting to young black Chicago minority women in information technology?
Okay, can you rephrase the question?
What are some of the keys to catching the attention of these people? I mean, is it cool to be involved in IT? Is it harder to get people in connected to that?
Well, I will tell you, it is cool. I've been in IT myself for many, many years. It is cool. Not only does this program get them into the IT field, we get them careers. We help them develop a career and transforming lives. That's what this program is all about, is transforming lives of our ladies once we get them into these fields.
Boy, it must be an even bigger challenge in Detroit, because I know with the Detroit school systems, there's been such a hard time. It's like a constant hurricane blowing against that system. And to get young people to kind of believe that they can have a career must be a challenge.
You know, we've witnessed with the ladies that are in the program, they are, a lot of times, women are indoctrinated from a very young age and told that they are not supposed to concentrate on technology, as an example.
Sheila, you're shaking your head.
Yes, it is true.
It is true. How does that work itself out? I mean, where do you hear that? Who would dare talk that way to you?
I think, you know what, it's interesting. You hear it. It's unfortunate. You hear it in your home sometimes. You hear it in your classrooms and other times. You know, so it's just this reinforcement that says that women are not supposed to have the intellect to be able to study technology. And at UST Global with the Step It Up program, our goal is to literally flip that whole paradigm on its head and make sure that we know that we are training minority women in the field of technology, preparing them for careers, transforming their lives and transforming their communities in doing so. The classes that we have, we've got more than 60 ladies in Detroit
now.
That are being trained in the field of IT.
So how is a woman find out about, you're finding out about it now, folks. But I mean, how do you get involved in it?
Well, you know what, Foster, can I share with you? We launched the Step It Up program here in the Detroit market back in March. This is 5 of 10 cities that we are going into, Atlanta being our first, Philadelphia, Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles have already launched. We're going into other markets as we step forward. But the mission from our CEO was that we would be training minimally 5,000 women over the next 3 years across this country. And that's just literally the only thing that prevents us from training more women than that are the partnerships that we gain with corporate America so that the ladies have positions when they complete their assignment.
So does UST, your company, do the training?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And you know what? Can I share with you?
Yeah.
We do the training. We pay the ladies for their training as they go through training and participate. We provide them with brand new laptops for their training. And when they graduate from training after 90 classroom days of training, we guarantee them positions with UST Global.
Wow. Now, we have one of those ladies in the studio with us. Monique Cleveland is here. You're a Detroiter, I understand, Monique, right?
Yes, I am.
All right. Grew up in the Detroit public school system. How did you hear about the program, and how did you get involved?
Sure. Actually, Foster, I heard about the program through a coworker. At the time, I was working in a position, and they had begun to reduce our hours. So we kind of knew that the end was coming soon.
Handwriting on the wall.
Exactly. And that friend of mine, she asked me one day during a lunch period, you know, do you think you'd be interested in IT? And because, you know, long time ago I had an interest in it, I just did not pursue that. I told her, yes, I am interested in it. And, you know, I began to fill out the applications and, you know, things of that nature. And here I am today.
Wow, that's neat. Now, you are, I believe, a mom, right?
I am.
I mean, so you're a grown lady. Yes. I'm going to put it that way. Just is that who you are recruiting on? Is this isn't for school kids? Is it for women? who are already in the workforce? Is that the target?
You know what? We actually, initially our target was minority women, right. And we knew that we wanted women that had some college experience, associate's degree. But within our program, even today, we have a wide variety. We have women who have some college. We have MBAs in our program. We have people that have been unemployed and those that were unemployed, or maybe they were on unemployment benefits and their benefits had even run out.
They underemployed.
Underemployed, exactly right. So, I mean, we have gone through and worked with the Michigan Works Agency and the Detroit Employment Solutions Group, and they have been able to really help us. We started this with an assessment process because the ladies have to go through an assessment and be interviewed so that we can select them for as candidates for the program. And really what we have found is that we're looking for women that have the passion like Monique does, that has that intellect and has the right attitude, because if they have the attitude, we can teach them IT.
Now, Sheila, how does a woman connect with this? Maybe there's somebody listening to you right now saying, I love that. How do I connect?
Well, for anyone who's involved in getting into the program, they can go to joinstepitupamerica.com. That's joinstepitupamerica.com. And once they complete that profile, someone will contact them. And as Mari said, they have to complete an assessment. So the assessment will be sent to them. And once they successfully complete the assessment, they're on their way to actually being accepted into the program following an interview.
Age range on this? Is there any?
Oh, my goodness. Can I tell you some great stories about this?
Oh, please.
We have two mother and daughter sets.
Oh, I
love
it.
Yes. We have young women. We have women that have been in the workforce for a while. We have, I was talking to one of our students just the other day, Foster. This young lady, Kim, just really struck me. Uh-huh. Kim has twins, girls, 4-month-old girls at home, and she's participating in our program every single day. So we have a whole gamut of the students and really what their desires are. But Kim is a prime example of a lady that is going to transform the lives of her family. Her kids are going to see her going off to work in an IT profession, and they're going to realize that they too can be professionals in the IT field.
Now, I know that there are women who are listening to this across our state. Matter of fact, down into Indiana as well and into Ontario. But in terms of the area that you folks are serving right now, is it particularly Detroit that you're serving? Is that where you're focusing your services right now?
Well, our first cohort of classes, yes, are in Detroit. They're being conducted at the Wayne County Community College District East Campus location. And we've got great partnership with them. But at the same time, the program is only limited and can be taken literally anywhere geographically.
Oh.
We just have to have a class of 30 women and the corporations in the community willing to partner and take these graduates on when they complete the course that they're going to be, that they are taking.
Now, I want to make sure we talk about that. We're going to taking a break shortly, but remind me, Myra, to talk about the partnership with the corporations.
Thank you.
Because that's a really important part to this. And,
yes, it is.
It's what makes this thing possible, I think, in many ways.
It's what makes it possible, and it's what keeps me up at night. So I would definitely like to chat with you about the partnerships, definitely.
We will definitely talk more about that. Now, what we're going to do, folks, by the way, is to put a button on our home screen. It'll be under the show notes right now where you'll see the smiling faces of Myra Ford Jenkins and Sheila Petway and Winnie Cleveland right now. We're going to put a button up there for you to click on and be taken to joinstepitupamerica.com so that you can yourself find out more about getting involved in that. That's your level of interest. And I'm sure we're going to have a way for corporations to get involved in this conversation as well. When we come back, Tig, I would like you, from your experiences at Quicken, to get involved in the conversation about women in IT as well. All that coming up as the Internet Advisor continues. Foster Brown here, along with Bill Carver and Tig Klima. And those are my two partners today. And by the way, they're the people who are going to be helping me answer questions after the top of the hour. And jot down this 800 number, 800-859-0957. That's the number we'll be taking starting at 5 o'clock for an hour. They'll be here helping to answer questions about Windows programs and your machines, or MacBooks as well, Macs as well. You've got lots of experience on that side, too. Well, and our conversation up to this point has been about a fascinating project that UST Global, which is an international corporation which works with IT, information technology, and providing people who are skilled in IT to and working for many other companies around the world globally. In studio with us is Myra Ford Jenkins. She is the manager for Michigan for the Step It Up America, and that is a program that UST has put on, created to attract minority women in particular, not just attract them, but really give them the abilities to be able to step into the IT industry. Am I right on that, Myra?
You are exactly right on that. We are training the ladies over a 90 classroom day environment in the field of IT in both either what we would consider to be non-programming or programming related fields in the IT space. The ladies are in training every single day, 8:30 to 5:30, Monday through Friday. And there are four pillars that we train them on. And the four pillars start with soft skills, being able to do things like conduct a meeting and gather requirements in a business meeting and being able to dress in a professional manner. So the soft skills are taught as a part of the pillar. Mm-hmm. There's the IT or information technology foundation, that kind of core competency that's provided to them through their training, as well as a select discipline that they would go into. QA testing is one of our specialties, or Java programming, .NET programming.
So they can branch off into
exactly into disciplines that
fits with their personality.
Correct. And then a lot of times the fourth pillar that we experience with our in our training with our ladies is that the company partners, corporate partners that we're gaining, want for them to become knowledgeable about the systems that they're going to be using. So, like, as an example, Home Depot is one of our clients in Atlanta. Mm. Home Depot provided the ladies that would be joining their team with computers that were equipped with literally all of their software so that they could be prepared prior to graduation, and when they started, they would be ready for the Home Depot environment. So the ladies are gone through very extensive training. They are assessed on a weekly basis several times. They do things like even flip the classroom where the ladies are training each other, peer-to-peer training.
I love that. Yeah,
so the instructor may do it during the day, morning, and in the afternoon, the ladies are training each other.
Monique is with us. Monique Cleveland is from Detroit, is in that course right now. How long have you been involved in that coursework?
Since May.
Since May. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's it like for you?
It's very exciting. And it's very challenging, I must admit to you, but I'm finding it to be very fulfilling, so I'm really enjoying it.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Now, we also have a coach in studio here. Coach Sheila.
That's me.
Where's your whistle? I was looking for a whistle around there. What is your job with this program then?
Well, my job is basically to monitor the ladies to make sure that they have everything they need to be successful. I also do the soft skill training for them as well. From day one, I'm with the ladies to the last day that they're in the program. In addition to once they get hired, I'm there with them to support them as well.
That's excellent. Tig, I'd like you to get involved in a conversation here. And Tigney, we call her Tig, Claybaugh is with us in studio. And you've been involved since the 80s in IT, or in computers, period, most recently in IT. When you hear this kind of a conversation, would this have been a program that would have attracted you as a young woman?
Absolutely. I would have been ecstatic. I would have been jumping up. I'm jumping up and down now. I'm like, hey, come on. I got a tan, you know. Do I count? this is wonderful. I have goosebumps. It would have made a huge difference in my life because I pretty much had to be self-taught.
Yeah.
And every time I would go to a job interview or take on a new position, they'd look at me like, she's going to stick around. You know.
I want to relate to one thing. This is focused towards minority women, but women are a minority, period, in IT, aren't they?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what, Foster, the statistics even right now, I think something I heard just recently, 2.8% of women, minority women, are in the IT, make up the IT workforce today. Mm-hmm. And when you take out the help desk and those IT-type, support-type positions, we're not even 1% of the population. So women are definitely underrepresented in the IT space, and that's a part of the reason for the program.
Monique, what area of specialization is interesting you?
Java programming. That's what I'm currently being trained on now.
That's fascinating. Did you have a background in that? Or
I had no background whatsoever.
I love it. What kind of background did you have in computers before you got involved in
none.
This?
None. Other than just your regular, you know, home computer.
None. Wow, that is fascinating. Now, how old are you? You had a child?
I have a grown daughter and recently a grandmother, so.
Oh, so what does your daughter think about you getting involved in this?
She thinks it's wonderful. You know, some of the times when it has become a little challenging for me, she had to remind me, you know, Mom, you know this is a boot camp, right?
So I love it. Mm-hmm. I bet she's proud of you.
She's very proud.
Oh, that is so neat. Now, before we get too far off of here, Myra, we talked before. Myra Ford Jenkins, by the way, is the UST Global Representative who is managing the Step It Up America program here. Oh, by the way, I posted that link. If you want to, it's on the internetadvisor.net site. It says, find out more about Step It Up America. Click on that, and it should take you to that site where you will be able to register for Well, unless I get rid of the 404 error that's in there right now, which I will. I don't have to be in IT to know that I screwed something up. I'll get that fixed. In any case, you can be able to click on that eventually and find out more about that. You were talking, though, Myra, about corporations
yes.
and their involvement.
Yes.
Tell me about how corporations can be involved in this.
Well, you know what? We are finding that the best way for us to make the program successful is to make sure that we're talking to the CEOs and the CIOs of the corporations and the communities that we're located. So here in the Detroit market in particular, the way that corporation partners can really help benefit this program is to take on graduates when the graduates come out of our training.
Of course.
Yeah, so we're talking about ladies that right now we have two classes, more than 60 ladies between the two classes, one of which is a QA or quality assurance testing group, and the second is the group that Monique is in, which is the Java programmers.
Mm-hmm.
So the local corporate community, they're looking for IT talent. We know that there are a tremendous number of IT jobs that go unfilled in the Metro Detroit area every year. So the corporate community could partner with UST Global, take the ladies on as employees in their organization, and we ask that we stay along, you know, that we have our hands on the ladies for at least 6 months or so after they graduate from our program, because we're offering.
The way you have hands on, it would be to have like a coach.
Correct.
Right? Work with them. Talking about troubleshooting some of their experiences in the job
place? There's several things that we do. We, you know, they do have a mentor that or a buddy that will be assigned to them. UST Global has 14,000, 15,000 consultants globally. So a mentor that is an experienced person that's been around for a couple of years would be assigned to each of our graduates.
Mm-hmm.
To go along with that, there is continuing education that's offered to the graduates as well. One of the tracks that we offer is a project coordinator, as an example. Well, the project coordinator could receive continuing education and be on the path for a project management certification. So we want to make sure that we're offering continuing education.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that I like about how UST supports the grads is that, let's say Monique gets out into, you know, a job environment and she has a question and she doesn't quite know how to ask, you know, that question internally. She doesn't want to embarrass herself, maybe.
I got you.
Well, we have a internal portal and blog that she can get into and get all types of responses from people who've been working in that very same environment and can support her from a global perspective. So we offer that ongoing support at least minimally 6 months after the graduate comes out of our program.
How do your graduates, how will Monique be connected to UST Global afterwards?
She actually, upon graduation, she becomes a UST Global employee.
Oh, wow. So you not only have the tie to the local company, but you're also part of this UST
Correct.
Global.
That's exactly
Ooh.
Right.
Folks, I think I finally fixed the link during our conversation. In any case, I'll work on it, make sure that it does work. We will get that link too, so you can click on Find Out More About Step It Up America. And I want to thank Myra Ford Jenkins, you, for being here.
Thank
Sheila
you.
Petway, and Monique, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank
I
you
can't
so
believe
you're
a grandma in the first place.
I
am. Oh, my goodness. Hey, folks, coming up in just a moment, after the news, we got our two experts in here in studio here, Bill and Tig, who are going to be answering your questions along with me at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. Make sure you give us a call. Get in line right away. We got lots of time to answer your question from 5 to 6 coming up on the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Welcome aboard hour number two of the Internet Advisor. My name is Foster Brown, your co-host, and with me in studio, I got a couple of great folks who are going to be helping you with your questions. That's Bill Carver and Tig Klima. They're two IT workers who are with a great company here, Quicken Loans, and Bill has been on our program before. They both know Windows and Apple in the, like the back of their hand. So if you've got a question, today's a great day to call, 800-859-0957. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce you to a couple of very special people who have joined me this weekend since all the rest of the guys are off on vacation. My name is Foster Brown, and we've got a great crew in here. Bill, yeah, you've been here before a couple of times, haven't you, answering questions?
Yeah, a couple of times, and you had me back anyways.
So. Well, Bill, one of the things we know about you is your background with Max. You've been using them for a long time, but you're also a very adept in Windows as well.
Yeah, Windows. Actually, I'm a big Windows 8.1 fan of all things. It's kind
excellent.
Of a surprise, but for the first
yes.
time in 30 years, Microsoft has done something original.
That, yeah. And God help them. That's part of why they're suffering, is because it did something original. Everybody's kind of down their throat for doing it. I'm glad to hear you say that. So, hey, by the way, folks, that's a very good point. If you have a Windows 8.1 unit that you're working with, or a Windows 8 computer that you're working with, and you have some questions about it, Bill is very adept at that. I'm also using it. Matter of fact, I have, thanks to Microsoft, they have loaned me a Microsoft Surface Pro 2 that I'm working on right here. This is a good time for you to call in with questions on that at 800-859-0957. Now, Tig Kleem is the other person in here. Tig, thanks so much for joining us. You're a colleague of Bill's at Quicken, right?
Yes, I am.
And you're familiar with both Windows and Mac platforms, right?
Yes, I'm more familiar with the Mac platforms.
Okay.
I actually used to work for Apple.
Ah.
So I get to play with those a bit more, and I'm a bit more excited to look at how pretty and shiny they are. And when I open up my computer, it actually works.
So,
Bill and I do a little bit of this banter.
Yeah,
every
jousting back and forth. Well, good. That'll be continuing on the heritage of Gary and
what's his name? Good old what's his name?
Yeah, Bill. Cal Carson. They love to joust about that. Well, we got a whole bunch of people who are standing by here, including somebody from Robertsdale, Alabama, that we'll get to in just a moment. But I was going to tell you folks that one of the things I did this weekend was, or this week finally, I had gotten some advice, Bill, the last time I was at the Mac group. My computer, my MacBook Pro was slow. It's a 2011 MacBook Pro. It's only a few years old. And everything else was working fine on it, but it was just getting the beach ball, by the way, which is, for those of you who have Macs, you know that spinning beach ball drives you nuts. They said, why don't you try putting an SSD drive in? So I got the solid-state drive, 256 gig. By the way, for $103, SanDisk, off online. Tremendous buy for that price. I had some problems, and maybe we can talk about it later on. But anyway, I finally got it working. Oh, what a dream that is. And Tig, I was saying to you during the break, one of the biggest things is, not only does the computer run three times faster than it ever did before, but the other thing is, it's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a sound. And normally there was a roar of wind coming out of that thing because it was working so hard before. All right, let's go to our first caller, and that's John calling us from out of state, Robertsdale, Alabama. All right?
Yeah, that's right. Listening to you on the internet, of course.
On the internet. Well, good. I'm glad you do that. What can we help you with?
I got a situation here. I bought a two-year-old laptop. I got a sweet deal on it, one of these deals somebody called in on a local swap shop program. But anyway, I got it home here, and in my infinite wisdom, I downloaded just about three programs, Firefox, Skype, and AVG, antivirus.
Okay.
And right after I did that, I noticed when I go to a website every so often, not every time, but maybe the other time I click on a website or whatever, it redirects me to this, a couple of different things, but the one is like, your computer may be infected, call 800, blah, 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 that. I'd like to know how I got myself into it, better yet, how I can get myself out of it.
Well, first question is, did you get in touch with my father by any chance? Because he gets everything.
No. Tig, you said automatically AVG. Why?
Absolutely, because every single time I've used AVG or gone to somebody's computer to save them and they have AVG, it's just a hassle. I'm sorry if somebody's a fan of that company.
We used to be. No, we used to be. But and that's something you're finding at AVG, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Them and Avast. For my Windows computers, I use exclusively Stopzilla.
Stopzilla, okay.
Yeah, and it's another free one.
There's another one. It's Microsoft Security Essentials, which we suggest to our listeners because it's free. And I like the fact that it's compatible with Windows 7 in particular. By the way, what operating system are you running on this, John?
Windows 7.
Yeah, Windows 7. Okay.
Yeah, one good thing about Security Essentials also is it's quiet. Like most of the other antivirus software comes up, and
yep.
It's like having Will Riker saying, "Red alert, nothing's wrong." So doing that, there's a couple things. Now, if you already have a virus, there's a couple places that you should go, one of which is a place called malwarebytes.org. And if you've got a virus, this will kill it. They've got some really good, sophisticated stuff to get that. It's also free. They have something. They'll try to sell you stuff. But
yeah. By the way, that's a good point, just, John, for you and for everybody else. Even our old favorites, like Malwarebytes now, are try to pay the rent. And the way they do that is by offering you a pro version. It's okay. It's like, what, $25 a year, I think it is, something like that, if you want to do that. But you can get the free one. And if you can get to the... Now, by the way, if you go to our home site, internetadvisor.net, and in the toolkit, Ed Rudell, one of our other folks here, has put together a collection of those free sites, and you should be able to download a free Malwarebytes. Anything else that you would suggest besides Malwarebytes, Tig?
Actually, what I almost always do, but then I'm very cautious, some might say overly cautious, I actually reboot the computer to a CD or a DVD and then investigate everything from there. That way, whatever is running isn't going to run because I'm running from a different boot disk. So then it's just considered to be a file.
The kind of thing you're talking about is like the Hirens boot disk, H-I-R-E-N-S, am I right? One of those. You can also have them off of thumb drives.
Yeah, you can do that. I usually make my own, but I'm a nerd.
Okay, you can do that. All right, so John, the thing we want to suggest you do is to get the Malwarebytes and run that program on there. I would get AVG off of there. Download Microsoft Security Essentials. That's free from Microsoft after you've done that. So you want to run the Malwarebytes. There's another one I'm going to suggest that you can listen in. I'll do it after our break here. There's one more I would suggest. And then you should be able to clean that up and be back to enjoying Windows 7. It's the Internet Advisor, our second hour, by the way, which is the hour in which you get to call with your questions and set the agenda. I have two brand new tech folks here helping me out. Not brand new and completely brand new. Bill, you've been before. Bill Carver is back in here helping us. And also we have Tig Klima, who both of them work at Quicken Loans here in Detroit. And we've been talking about some new kind of things. By the way, kind of the fun of having some new perspective on this is both of you have come up with some new ideas for stopping malware. And last segment, Tig, you mentioned StopZilla.
Yes.
Tell me about StopZilla. Folks, this is something I will be putting up on our show notes as well, but go ahead and talk about StopZilla.
Well, StopZilla is actually part of like a whole suite. And you can get the free versions, in which case they help you a little bit. Right. They help you a little bit. And then if you need some more assistance, if you will, then they have some paid packages. They actually have an entire paid suite that will do the antivirus, will do the security, although from what we were looking at earlier, that might put you on the Homeland Security list or whatever. they do have some security on there as well for secure browsing.
What makes them so attractive?
Well, what I really like about it is that I have one interface where I can go in and do all my file cleanups, all my registry fixes, all of my UI improvements and switches and everything else like that. So it's just one interface and I can access everything.
Can I ask you have you seen Clean My Mac? You know
yes.
that application? I am really liking that. That is like one interface that cleans a whole bunch of stuff. What do you think of that?
I haven't used it because I can do that all. I'm sorry.
As somebody, I'm not that familiar. I've been using Macs now for 4 years, but not completely as comfortable with it as I would be on a PC. I have found that for a Mac, it brings up and it takes care of the duplicate photos and a lot of other files that are back there that I wouldn't know where to find because I'm not that familiar with a Mac. So it's called Clean My PC, and I've liked the experience. I was wondering if you had any. Bill, you have any thoughts on it? Have you tried to use it?
Clean My Mac I haven't used, but I do know it is kind of fun trying to go through your photos manually and see which one's not like the other. You know, just go through and there's one finger's moved a little different. And fortunately, Clean My Mac can find that stuff. It also cleans up cache files and all the invisible stuff that's underneath the dark.
That's what I've
water.
Liked, yeah. The duplicates that are there hiding that you don't know are there. And it really cleans up a lot of space on your drive. Okay, hey, let's go back out to our callers. And by the way, the phone number here is 800-859-0957. And let's say hello to Kevin from Sterling Heights. Hi, Kevin. How are you doing and how may we help you here?
Just fine. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for your program. I'm WJR. The problem I have is I have a Dell Latitude D600 laptop. I used to be able to use my television as an auxiliary monitor, so I could watch videos from my computer on my television.
Oh.
I switched over from Windows XP to Windows 7, mm-hmm. and now I can't get my computer to do that. I don't know if I need to download a driver or switch okay. something in my computer.
Hmm.
The D600 has some very specific drivers, actually, and one time when I had to update one, I had to go back to the Dell website and re-download all of the drivers and then actually contact Dell and get all of my switches correct.
Mm.
So the D600, like if you want to take that one to Linux, don't even try. It's just a very finicky little machine. It's a great little machine, yeah. but it's very finicky.
Mm. So what do you think the problem is that when it was under XP, it could be broadcast to the TV, but now that it's on, you're on Windows 7, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, well, now that it's yeah. on Windows 7, he can't make the connection to the TV.
Yeah, it sounds like the older driver probably wasn't compatible, so Windows 7 threw the driver out. But kind of what Tig said earlier, it's really easy to do on the Dell website, is if you go to support.dell.com and put your service
support.
Tag in there.
It's called support.dell.com. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then what do you do, Bill?
Okay, and you can put in your service tag in that or just simply tell it, find all the drivers this machine is supposed to have for this operating system, and it'll go through and grab everything you need, including that video driver
mm-hmm.
and anything else. If you have any BIOS updates, definitely do that because that laptop is very well known for running hot and running slow.
Now, Kev, do you know where your service tag is?
No, would it be your serial number on the bottom?
Well, flip it over, and the service tag, it's labeled as service tag.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And take that number, which is like, what, 6-7 digits, I think.
Yeah, it's letters and numbers. It's like a Canadian zip code down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be right on the bottom, though, huh?
If you flip it over, it's on the back. You know, as you said, there's some serial numbers that there, but it says service tag. And Dell, that's what you want to put into the Dell site.
Okay, I'll give that a try.
Yeah, and what they're saying is if you update your drivers, you probably, very likely, could get that back again, okay? If you can't, by the way, get back in touch with us through our website, which is internetadvisor.net on the Contact Us button. We'll see if we can help you anymore, okay?
Alrighty, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Kev, thank you for calling. Reminder to you, by the way, our phone lines are open here with room for you at 800-859-0957. We've got folks here who are very familiar with the Apple Mac background, if you have a question in that area, or on Windows as well. And again, 800-859-0957. Let's go to Bob from Dundee. Hi, Bob, how you doing? You've got a printer error.
I do. I have an ancient G85 that maybe ought to be buried. I don't know. But every time I try to print something, I get maybe 10% or 50% of the page. It stops, and then I get a message that says that the printer is in error mode.
Where are you getting the error? Is it on the printer or on the computer?
On the computer, it shows up that the printer itself is in error mode.
Okay.
The G85, as you know, was a multifunction machine. Matter of fact, Gary and I, was it 2001? 2002 that it came out?
Yeah, I think that's prior to USB, so you probably have a big, wide parallel cord now.
Just a funny little aside here. Bob, Gary and I had this thing. Both of us bought one at the same time, and it said, compatible with Windows XP, which had just come out at that time. It wasn't. It wasn't compatible at all, and it drove us both nuts until we finally got some help on that, or I should say HP finally made a driver that worked for it. So what do you think are some thoughts on this?
Well, it's sounds like it's one of those old parallel cords. It's got the 25 pins on one side, big clips on the other side, I assume, right?
Okay.
And first thing I would do is turn everything off and disconnect and reconnect that. You could have anything from, you know, it's been sitting there since the dawn of time, so it's probably got some corrosion and dust bunnies and all kinds of stuff on there. And that would actually cause, there's only one wire that determines whether or not the printer's running or, you know, waiting for data or ready for more data. And it sounds like that one wire is not getting through. So it could be that. You might need to get a parallel cord. Or
a new printer cable.
A new printer.
One of those old printer cables.
Right, new printer cable. One of the old school cables.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And you could probably find that on eBay or even on Amazon, I think you find
Smithsonian.
Yeah, Smithsonian. you might find that you can get a printer for the price of that cable.
Pretty much.
That's probably it right now. It really is the case now that you can get a printer. Oh, heck, three-function printer or multifunction printer for about around $100, and then you pay about the same amount of money to get cartridges for it.
Like, yeah, printer, scanner, right. Copier, cat perch, and everything in there.
But I have to say this, by the way, and for the rest of you out there, I have finally had good luck. I have an HP PhotoSmart, which we bought just like last year for like $120, and ran out of ink, of course. And so I went to Amazon to get some ink cartridges. Now, HP wants you to spend $60 for the three colors plus the black. $60. And I decided to take a gamble on some of the remanufactured ones. $10. And so far, my fingers are crossed, toes are crossed, it's still working. But apparently they've improved them, because I had one batch that I tried before, it did not work. It worked for a little while, and then, plunk, stopped. But they seem to be doing better at making the remanufactured replacements right now. So, all right, good luck with you with that, and see if that helps you, okay?
All right, very good.
Okay, Bob, thanks so much for being with us. Number again, 800-859-0957. Harry from Port Huron, we'll be with you shortly. And Dennis out in Shelby, we hear you too. Before we go to a break, which is coming up pretty quickly, I had one of our listeners in Toledo, Richard Habrecht. He asked for a recommendation for an online company to provide cleanup, online cleanup and repair for a couple of desktops and a laptop at his church. First of all, I want to ask you, what do you folks think of getting a company online to do that?
Well, you know, since they're in a church, I did take a look at that. And since they're in a church, there's actually more parts of your computer. Number one, you got to be really honest with them. Because they, you know, the boss up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, since they're in a place that's also going to have network equipment and printers and other things that should be cleaned at the same time, I actually recommend you have somebody come down to
you.
I agree. And I took a look at a couple spots there. You know, went on the web and I just found some people with good reviews and lots of things. Computer Renaissance on Monroe Street down there is actually one of the spots that came up with great reviews. Another one, Geeks on Site down there.
Okay. What we're going to do is to post these online so that Richard can find out about this, and you folks who are in the Toledo area in particular, that you would take a look at this as well. Geeks Online was the other one down there. So it's Computer Renaissance and Geeks Online. Back
Geeks
in just a moment.
Geeks
on Site. Thank you for being here with us on the Internet Advisor Hour 2. Bill Carver did Klima with us answering questions. We had a question, and Bill, I want to go back to you're repeating an answer. A caller or a listener of ours had emailed and said they had a church in the Toledo area. They were looking for an online company that would provide cleanup for their two desktops and a laptop. And, of course, they're looking for something that can handle it fairly inexpensively, being a nonprofit organization, etc. I think all of us thought, not a good idea to have it online. Bill, you had some companies, businesses in Toledo that you saw were recommended.
Yeah, I found two businesses, Geeks On Site and Computer Renaissance. I don't know if Computer Renaissance does the on-site stuff as it goes, but it looks like they do in this case. But
Geeks On Site does.
Yeah, Geeks On Site.
Okay.
Based on the name, probably does. And, of course, the big thing, as I mentioned with that, when you've got a business and the church is also like a business in many ways, you've got your network equipment, your wiring, your printers, and everything involved in it that you'd want to have them look at.
Yeah, and that's why, Tig, that you were saying it's better to have somebody coming on-site because of all the other variables that are there, including hardware.
Right, exactly. Somebody could be thinking that they have a software problem that they could get cleaned up online, when actually there is something mechanical going on underneath the scenes.
Right, exactly. By the way, folks, we have a feature at the bottom of our page, on the homepage, internetadvisor.net. If you look down at the bottom of the page there, you will see this weird little fellow, Nerd on Call. And there's a thing that says, Your Trusted Computer Repair Shops. We would like you to email us at contact us, that button on top, and tell us about, in the Toledo area in particular, or anywhere that you're listening to us, computer shops that you trust. And what we're doing is, based on your recommendations, we're putting them in there and listing them. So if you click on that, you'll see a bunch of ones that are in there right now. Okay, let's go back and talk with, Harry in Port Huron. Harry, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Well, hey, folks. I'm in front of a Mac Mini right now, and I've got a Bluetooth keyboard. And I'm listening to an audio file. Mm-hmm. On how to use the Mac. I just got this Mac Mini.
Oh.
And my problem is I can't fast forward through the file. So if I miss something, I got to go back to the beginning of the file and start listening again. And
you're talking about an audio file, right?
Yeah. Okay. And I'd like to be able to fast forward through this file. Is that even a possibility in iTunes with a Bluetooth keyboard?
Absolutely. Now, when you say that you're not able to fast forward through the file, are you playing it through iTunes, or are you playing it by having your mouse resting over the file?
I'm playing it through iTunes because I hear it when I'm using a VoiceOver, the screen reader, and I can command tab, and when I do that, it takes me out of it, then I go back and it says, yes, it's playing through iTunes. I can see the iTunes window.
So here he is visually impaired. That's another challenge involved in this.
Okay. All right. And that does make this a little bit more interesting. Now, one of the things that you can do is at the top of the iTunes screen, there is a gray bar underneath, and that should be a slider bar where you can go anywhere within that file to start, stop, and play. Now, it is tiny, so you might have to do the zoom on the screen.
I can't see the thing at all.
Right. That's a challenge.
If VoiceOver is going to tell me that it's there or not.
All right, let me do a little bit of research.
Yeah, Harry, let's do this. Why don't you email that question to us, okay?
Okay.
And then I'm going to pass it on to Tig, and she can do some research on this and get back to you.
Because
as you said, Tig, it's a little more complicated because you're visually impaired and you have to hear, you have to listen to the solutions. Bill, you have a thought?
Well, just in long kind of experience in that, have you tried the command key and the right arrow at the same time?
No, I haven't.
It's only a chance. They've used that command for something similar to that before. It may not be anywhere near.
So you press down command and then the right arrow.
Right. I'm doing that right now, and it stopped it. As a matter of fact, it took me out of it.
Right. It should take him to the next song.
Problem solved. Next song.
which there is none.
Need that lesson anyway.
All right. We've discovered what that's for now.
Right. Okay. I'm glad you mentioned it, though.
What we'll do is you email that to us at internetadvisor.net. I'll pass it on to Tig, and she'll take a look at it this week and see if we can help you, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you much, guys.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. It is a challenge, especially when you're visually impaired because you can't see the other subtleties that are there. Dennis from Shelby, welcome to the Internet Advisor. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I'm looking for a new computer. I've been using a Dell computer.
Yeah.
And I have, I use an iPhone, and also I have an iPad with Internet connection.
Excuse me, Dennis, what is your phone connection right now?
What is the phone connection?
Yeah, because it sounds like you're underwater. Have you got another way are you on a speakerphone or something?
I'm on a headset. Doesn't sound clear?
No, it sounds clear. That's great. Okay, so you are considering whether to go with an Apple device or with a Windows device?
No, I'm going to go either Apple or I was looking at the Surface also.
Oh, the Surface. Okay, yeah. So which one of the Apple devices were you looking at? What do you want to do, Dennis? What do you want to do?
Okay, I use it for business, where I'm in the real estate business.
Okay.
So I'm using it on the road, on the desktop, it's in and out. Okay. I'm using it, kind of on the go somewhat.
Okay.
I have the iPad that I can also
use. Yes, you got the iPad you can also use. Are there any particular programs that you use that are Windows-based unique programs for the real estate world?
We do. We use some unique programs for the real estate, but they'll be compatible, I think, with both the PC and the Apple.
Okay.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Other questions?
But I do use an Apple phone, an iPhone, and the iPad. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to sync those three together. That's one thing.
Coming up. Go ahead, Tig.
Actually, I have an excellent answer for that. Ha! Sorry, Bill. He got it first. No, we don't work together at all. What's that? One of the things that I would recommend is if you can get an Apple computer, that way you have all of the joys and beautiness of an Apple computer. But then you get something such as Parallels or VMware, where you can also install Windows on it. And then that way you can do both.
And coming up this fall, Apple is going to be introducing something in iOS 8 called Continuity. Am I right?
Right, which is beautiful.
That Continuity will mean that you can actually start a program on your phone, pick it up on your iPad, and pass it over and have it right there on your Apple computer.
And, of course, I agree actually completely with Tig on this one.
Oh, my gosh!
You've got, if you have, you know, the iPhone, the iPad, and all that, it all just works together beautifully. And on my on my Windows, I've got a Toshiba laptop here with an Apple logo on it just to make it better. And so what I do is I have to actually work really hard to get that thing to work on there. When I plug my Mac into it, it just all works. You plug it in and angels go,
hang on a second. I have to say it. Now, I'm using
a
Mac.
Cupertino angel,
okay.
By the way. Yeah.
However, I have a Surface Pro with me. And I will say, what's happening, by the way, Dennis, and for the rest of you listeners as well, is that these computer companies are working more and more to bring you into their world. So if you're in the Google world, you'll be on an Android phone, and you might be on a Chromebook. If you're in the Windows world, you'd be on a Surface Pro, for instance, and you would have a Windows computer. So what they're doing is they're trying to make all these things work together in their different worlds. So choose a world and jump in. Apple, as Tig was saying, and it's true, especially more so come this fall when iOS 8 is released. It is going to be producing a lot of incredible things that probably will take some while to work out, but I think you'll be very happy with the way that all those devices work together. They give you some help?
Well, one thing I also heard is that Apple is evidently discounting the MacBook Pro right now, or some of the suppliers are, I should say.
Not Apple.
Best Buy.
Yeah, Apple can't.
I also saw...
So there's word of a new computer on the verge of coming out.
Yeah, by the way, I don't know if I buy the newest the bleeding edge of it. I tell you what my grandsons just did. One of them is going up to Michigan State University. I went to Apple and got an $800 Apple Air, a MacBook Air, refurbished.
Yep, that's
for $800 bucks.
Too.
And, that was savings of about $400 from the original. The thing is beautiful, lightweight, just incredibly fast, and it works wonderfully. So that's on the Apple site. That's on the Apple. Go to apple.com. You'll find those refurbs.
Right, store.apple.com. And then what's really awesome about those is that they still have the full warranty because you bought them from Apple.
Yep.
Now, if you get a refurb from another site such as Amazon, it doesn't have the full Apple warranty anymore. That's void.
Right. So that's something else to keep in mind. If you're starting out with an Apple computer, I would say the refurb probably is a really, really good way to go.
And they still look so good, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, gosh. The Windows guys are here. They'd be chewing us up.
Gary is rolling over
and
right
I'd
now.
I'd be like,
oh. All right. I hope that helped you, Dennis.
Enjoy your vacation, Gary.
Thank you very much for giving us a call. Hey, we got a few more minutes here. We got a lot of people on the line. We'll answer as many of these questions as we can. And by the way, if you don't happen to get your question in, you can always go to internetadvisor.net and click on the Contact Us button. That'll be giving you an opportunity to send us an email with your question. We get to those during the week, and we'll get the answer back to you. Back in just a moment to wrap it up with a whole bunch of the rest of you folks here on the Internet Advisor. Well, first of all, I got to say, uneasy lie the crowns of our tech advisors, because the people we have in studio here, thank you, sorry, Tig, are doing a great job, and it's been a lot of fun. I want to thank Bill Carver. Thank you so much for coming down, for being here.
Thanks for having me. I love doing this.
Yeah, and Tig, you are a delight. I'm delighted to have you with me. You guys must have fun all day long at work.
Absolutely.
We say they work, in quotes, at Quicken here in Detroit with their IT department. Annie, thank you. It's good to have you back. Annie Nichols, our smiling voice that you get on the telephone when you call here. Thank you very much for being back with us. And Rich Lisinski, thank you very much for being here as well, our engineer. Okay, let's dive right back into our phone calls. But just to remind you, by the way, on Sunday night, we'll have the podcast up along with the different segments of our program broken down so you can listen to them as well. And we'll also have some other things added to the show notes that are up there, like we talked about K9 security software and StopZilla and a bunch of other things. Well, I'll make sure I put those in the show notes so you have those along with the audio of the program. Okay, and that's at internetadvisor.net. You'll get that on about Sunday night. We'll get that. Okay, let's go back and wrap things up. Let's start talking with Fred. Fred is from Sterling Heights, and thank you for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. What can we do to help you?
I have a Windows 7 and HP, and at the bottom, the flag will pop up and got a red X on it. It says my update is off. Turn off. How do I turn it on?
What operating system are you running, Fred? Is it Windows 7?
Yes.
Okay, you're running Windows 7, and you said at the bottom right hand of your screen there's an X?
Right, with the flag.
With the flag, yes, you're right. That's the that would be, by the way, folks, that is a legitimate signal. That's not a virus. That's a legitimate signal that something's wrong. Thoughts?
Okay.
Well, I got two thoughts. First thing I would do, actually, with this particular problem is do run a virus scan with something, malware bytes or any antivirus software. There is malware that turns off that update. The other one, when it comes to that, if you go to Microsoft.com/fixit, F-I-X-I-T, when you get to that site, they've got all kinds of automated things. And if you type in Windows Update in there, you'll see something called the Windows Update Troubleshooter. And it's going to go in there and find what's wrong and fix it.
And the nice thing, by the way, about that is, Fred, it is, Fixit is, you just simply press the button.
Mm-hmm.
And they put together all of the package of programs, and it runs that for you. So it's a great place to go. So again, Bill, how do you get there?
Yep, that's Microsoft.com/Fixit.
F-I-X-I-T.
F-I-X-I-T.
And folks, by the way, that's good for everything, a lot of things, right?
Yeah, it works. It's your digital nerd, anywhere you need it.
So then when you get to the Fixit page, you would put in there Windows Update.
Yeah, you put in Windows Update Troubleshooter. Put that one in there.
Windows Update Troubleshooter. And it will then you'll download that, and it will then go to work and identify what the problem is, Fred, and then also show you how to fix it, too, or fix it for you. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir. Thank you for calling. I love the Fixit solutions, because it used to be you had to go through this whole recipe. Go to the command line and type in, and I would be lost halfway through that. Okay, let's go to Russ from Lorain, Ohio. Hi, Russ. How you doing? Hello, Russ. You there?
Yes, I am.
All right. You have a question for us about rebuilding a Windows 7 machine?
That is correct. I thank you for taking my call first off here. I have a Windows 7 machine that was rebuilt, and since it's been rebuilt, it's been running fine, but it's losing printers every 3-4 hours. You have to reboot to get the printers back again. I've uninstalled all the printers, reinstalled it, gone to the web pages to get the latest versions of the drivers, tried different things, and no matter what I do, 2-3 hours later on, the printers just disappear. Everything else is working, but just disappears.
Can I ask why you originally rebuilt the computer?
Yes, the hard drive crashed.
Okay, so now you have a brand new hard drive or the old hard drive?
This is actually a verified good hard drive from another system.
Okay.
It's been deband, though.
I wonder if it's the printer interface.
That's
is
what
it
sounds
same
like.
Motherboard or the same kind of a printer card?
Well, actually, there's three printers connected to it. There's a USB printer and two LAN printers.
Okay, so when you go into the little diagnostics area, and Bill, you're going to have to help me because I'm lost in UI land here. but when you go into your system diagnostics, you can go into all of your devices, and when you right-click on each printer, checking out the status and seeing why they went down.
The problem is everything disappears from those printer status windows.
Yeah, the other
then
possibility.
It's the hardware.
Yeah, well, the other possibility, too, there's one more. If you go into the System Manager, that's going to be, you get onto the Start menu, go to Computer, right-click it, and then you'll see Manage is one of the options. When you go in there, do delete the printers, but also delete anything that says USB. And when you restart the computer, careful not to delete your keyboard, though. But when you restart,
thank you.
That'd be a problem.
Yeah.
But when you restart the computer, it should pick up all the right drivers for everything and bring it back in the business at that point. Because it could be a driver issue. And after that, how far are you from an Apple store?
Oh, right.
Now stop that. Now, Tig,
hey, what? I'm good with that.
I know you are. Too good with it. Tig, on commission.
No.
Tig, you said something about hardware. What would be a hardware issue?
That would be what Bill was alluding to, such as the motherboard or the printer interface that the printers actually plug into, because especially if the original hard drive got too hot, it can fry some of those little teeny, eeny, weeny circuits, and then they just start losing connection.
Did you have a problem, by the way, Russ, with your that old drive getting really hot?
No. It didn't. The other issue, the other systems are using the same printers too, except for USB one. So the printers are there and they are working. It's just this one system. It's giving us heartburn.
Just the one machine, you mean?
Just the one machine.
Just the one machine that's having it.
Just out of curiosity, are those printers all in a USB hub?
No, they are not. They're on an actual LAN connection, a port. Two of them are, and the other one is the USB right into the back of the system, the label printer is.
So let's go back through. What are the steps we're offering him?
So for that one, I go to the Start menu, right-click on Computer, choose
right.
Manage from there, and then if anything you see USB or any other than your keyboard, and even the USB ports themselves, if you can, go ahead and delete all the USB drivers and then restart the machine somehow. Of course, if you unplug the keyboard, plug it back under the mouse, it'll bring those back in as well. And then once you restart the system, it should bring back all the right USB drivers, and after that, it's probably time for a new machine.
Mm-hmm. New computer itself.
Computer.
Right. And because the problem may be in the motherboard, not in the hard drive.
Right.
Right.
Might be that the hard drive was fine and the computer was having problems.
Okay, so there's the other thing here, Russ, and we're kind of trying to do troubleshooting, on the air is always a little sketchy, because especially if it's mechanical. So you might want to have somebody take a look at that machine to check the motherboard out to see if there are not some problems
there.
Well,
it's passed all the diagnostics from Dell for the motherboard.
Ted, you're waving your hand like,
okay.
But you still you think there would still be a possibility?
I would definitely check it out. I know there have been plenty of times when something passed all the parameters, but it still didn't work.
Yeah. Okay. So that, I guess we're talking about taking it to a shop.
Yes.
That's it. Now, the other thing might be to try to put another machine precisely where that one is in the system and see if the same things happen. Am I right, guys? So you would, in other words, isolate the problem to the machine, pull that machine out of it, and put another, let's say, a laptop or another a desktop in there.
Yeah, that might be a good diagnostic.
See what I'm talking about, Russ?
The cables you're set up.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. We actually have three other systems using the same printers already.
And those ones are working okay, so I'm saying...
They're working okay, yeah.
So just pull that particular machine out of the equation and put something else in, a laptop or something else, and see if you still have the problems. If the problems disappear, then you know it's in the hardware there on the other machine, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Russ, thanks a million. That is so frustrating when that kind of thing happens. Hey, once again, thank you so much, Bill, for being with us here.
You're welcome.
Delighted to have you back. And Dick, you know you are now on the list.
Why, thank you.
Dick,
I appreciate
Klima,
that.
It's been a delight having you here. Annie, thank you, Annie Nichols, for being back with us again. It's always good you're here. And, of course, Rich Lezinski, thank you. And my partners will be back next week. By the way, next week we're going to be exploring the dark web. The Exploring the Dark Web with Wendy Boswell of About.com. You don't want to miss that. All that coming up this next week here on the Internet Advisor. In the meantime, enjoy yourself, and Sunday night, look for our podcast at InternetAdvisor.net.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.